I shall see him in my face to face. I shall behold you. Revelation chapter 3. I want to thank you for being here today. And I say this, honestly, I really enjoy listening to y'all sing. And I like to hear Miss Tanya sing. And I like to hear, Miss Hannah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I like to hear her sing. I like to hear them women sing. And, huh?
Was that the Wizard of Oz?
It might have been. And so thank you. That's a good song. Face to face. Be a blessed day when the veil is, when that glass darkly is removed, won't it? Be good. Sing face to face. I'd like to hear more of you sing. And I wished you would.
Amber said she was offended.
Yeah. It ain't. Amber, you're used to it. It's not the first time I offended you. And if you don't leave Zach today, it won't be the last time. My wife should be shouting right now. Amen. I don't know why, but it's been heavy on me here lately. We just need God, huh? We need the Lord. And the more I look around and the longer I live, the more intense I see it, feel it, and I don't know the right word to say, but the more enthused I am about it, the more I see the need of it. When you look around in the churches, when you look around in the world, doesn't matter where you look, it's just, man, we need God. We need God. I was thinking about our meeting coming up, going up there to New York, and think about my childhood and being taken to all these meetings. And sometimes I didn't like to go. I wanted to maybe play Little League Baseball or go off with some friends or just play out in the yard, do my own thing. Last thing I always wanted to do sometimes was sit down at the house of God and listen to some loud preacher preach. And worse than that, I didn't want to listen to a quiet one preach. And but now I look back and I think about how precious those days were. You hear me? I think about how precious that was. And I enjoyed playing ball. I enjoyed playing out in the backyard, but the most precious memories I have are those that's gathered around God. Right? The things of God. Going to these meetings and being able to be part of it, and for our children to be partakers of that. And just... Boy, we need God. We need the Lord. I need the Lord in my home. I need the Lord in my family. I need the Lord on the job with me. And I need the Lord down at the sawmill with me. Wherever I might go, I just need God. And boy, we need Him at the house of the Lord, don't we? We need Him here. And if our children ever stand a Chinaman's chance in hell, I'll promise you it's going to take God. Listen, parents, you can do everything right known to man. You can do everything right. But if God don't intervene, your children don't stand a chance. We need God. We need God. And without Him, I'm absolutely nothing. Just need the Lord. Amen. Our homes need Him. Our children need Him. Our parents need Him. And it's just on me more than ever how we need the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 14. It's a very familiar, famous passage of Scripture. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. That's why it's so important That's the name of Jesus right there. That is his full written name right there. Amen. He is the Amen. That's why it's not good to just say Amen. You believe it or not, Zach was talking about in Sunday school this morning, taking the Lord's name in vain. You can say Amen about the wrong thing and be taking the Lord's name in vain, because that is his. He is the Amen. That's the full written title of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Amen. And that's why sometimes you hear people say it and it's just kind of sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Then sometimes the Amen that's living on the inside of us says it. And it just makes all the difference in the world. Amen. That's good. The Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know why people aren't happy today? I mean, as a whole, do you know why people are so unhappy? Your Bible says, happy is he who is chastened of the Lord. The reason why people ain't happy today is because they ain't had a good whipping lately. That'll make you happy. That's what God said, happy is he who is chastened of the Lord. And the Lord said, who I love, I rebuke and chasten. Amen. That's a blessing. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous about it. You say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious opportunity to share your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us. God, I pray that you'd open the ears, the hearts of the hearers. Lord, I pray that you do a work of grace in each and one, every one of our lives today. Help me, God. Give me that anointing that I need today, dear Lord, to proclaim thy blessed word in a way that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We can see in Revelation chapter 3 that John is writing to a literal church. And I like studying on these churches over here in the book of Revelation. And all the goods and bads and stuff like that about each one of them. And they all had something good. But one of the things, one of the things that I've always liked about every one of the churches is that God always had him a remnant. Amen. Every one of these churches, God had him a remnant. I mean, when one church age passed away, guess what? Man, I'm telling you, there was a remnant. There was a body of believers. If the whole group of them turned and went away from God, still through every bit of that, there was a nucleus. There was a handful of people that stayed faithful to God, that carry on the gospel to the next generation. Amen. And all through these churches, you'll see that it's always a faithful remnant that honored God. I'll be honest with you, there always has been, there always will be. God's always going to have him a remnant, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be that faithful few that stays faithful to the things of God. And I thank God for that. But we can see here that John's writing to a literal church, the church of Laodicea. And from what I understand, I've heard some preachers say that Laodicea simply meant governed by the people. And are we not there today? I mean, being controlled by what everybody thinks and what everybody suggests, everybody's own ideas, everybody's opinions, instead of what thus saith the Lord. We're living in a society today that just completely governed by our emotions. Well, I love him. I want to marry him. And but way too often, ladies and gentlemen, as you read this, John wrote to the church of Laodicea. Way too often, if you open your eyes, you can see it in our churches today. And that's how it's been preached for years, that we're living in that Laodicean church age. But you know what's sad to me, besides seeing the churches all across America fall into this condition, I looking around and seeing the individuals that fall in this condition. People sitting inside of the New Testament church today that are blind and naked and wretched and know not that they need God's eye salve. It's amazing. Blind. Individuals sitting in the house of God. John's writing to a literal church, but I still see it today in our churches in 2017. Let me say this to you today, that the Lord has never desired for the church or an individual to be found in this condition. This is not something that, well, the Bible says it's going to be like that. Let me tell you something. I know the Bible says there's going to be people like that and groups like this, but it's never been God's will to find anybody in the condition that He found His church in Revelation 3. It's not God's will that you be blind. It's not God's will that you be wretched. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. If you're a child of God, and you name the name of Christ, listen to what God desires. He desires your fellowship. Isn't that amazing? That the God of all creation desires to have fellowship with such a man as I. Huh? What is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, if you get to thinking about who we are and what we are, my goodness, man, it don't amount to a whole lot. And old Percy Ray did the math one time, and I think men come up to about 57 cents worth if he's to burn us all down and sell our bodies as minerals and parts, we would be worth about 57 cents. Isn't that amazing? Huh? If you can add up all the proteins and stuff in our body after it's burnt down to a heap of ashes or a pile of dust and try to turn around, the only thing it'd be worth was about 60 cents today. Ain't a whole lot, but there, you know what? There's a God in heaven that thought a whole lot of us. Amen. I mean, He thought enough of you and I, our little 60-cent life. He thought enough of you and I to send His only begotten Son to a wretched old world to die for the sins of mankind so that you and I could be redeemed. Amen. And He don't want to stop right there. God is sitting in heaven today. And those that are called by His name, there's a desire in the soul of God where He wants to have fellowship with those that are called by His name. God desires your fellowship. God wants somebody that'll come and bow before Him. Somebody that'll open the door to Him. Somebody that'll take time to sit with Him. Somebody, thank God, that will sup with Him and He with Him. That's why He said this, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Saved or lost, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to draw nigh to Him. Right? If you're a child of God, He desires your fellowship. He's not just the Savior of the church. He's the Savior of the world. He didn't just come to save that select few, as the Calvinists would have us to believe. But I'm telling you, He came to save the world from their sins. Died for the sins of the world. The Bible says He came. What's this? I like it over there with old Nicodemus. Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You want to know who God saves? He saves lost people. You want to know why God came? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right. It's good. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ain't that a blessing? That all would come to repentance. Folks, it's not His will that anybody should perish. Not His will. If you perish, it's because of you. If you die without God, it's because of you. It's never God's will for anyone to perish. I'm going to be honest with you, and I know it's harsh, but you know it wasn't the will of God for Adolf Hitler to perish. I mean, man, if Adolf Hitler could have come to terms with the laws of God and his violation thereof, God would have been glad to save that wicked sucker. Yeah. God didn't smile when that man died and went to hell. He never takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's no pleasure to God. God never finds a way to enjoy that. God's never pleased with that. God will never be pleased with that. God wouldn't send His Son in this world so He could take pleasure in any one of us dying and going to hell. It's not His will that any should perish. I don't care how far you've gone. Listen, I don't care how many times you've taken the Lord's name in vain. And I'm telling you, man, that's a grievous thing. Do you hear me? It's a grievous thing. I mean, man, I've often tried to, Eric, figure out how many times in a TV movie or a Hollywood movie or whatever it might be, a show on TV, I mean, the little simple things they can't say, but they can take the Lord God's name in vain and never bat an eye, never blink, and it was unnecessary. They didn't need to say it. The movie would have been fine. The show would have been fine. It would have been fine. The sentence would have been just as complete if they'd have left God's name out of it. Friend, they had to take His name in vain. But I want you to understand something. All them vile, wretched, wicked people out of Hollywood, California, all those God haters, those God deniers, those God rejecters, it unpleased God for them people to die and go to hell. That's who His Son came to die for. He came to die for their sins so that they could be redeemed, so that you could be redeemed, so that I could be redeemed. Never takes pleasure. How many times you take His name in vain? I don't care what people's gone to prison for, what kind of lives they've led. God never takes pleasure. It's not His will that they perish, but it's His will that they come to terms with the laws of God, that they stand face to face with God's, with a violation of His laws, with God's requirements, and they come to a place of repentance to God. That's His will. That's His will. You willing to obey His will? Are you willing to meet God on His terms? Are you willing to do what God wills for your life? Are you willing to perish? Are you willing to just reject God? Are you willing how to spit in His face? Are you willing to turn your back on Him? Or are you willing to come to Him in His terms? It's not His will that you perish. But I tell you, without Him, you're going to. And I tell you what, church, I look around today and we are perishing and we don't even realize it. I mean, we're perishing. We don't even realize it. We're so far from God today. It's pathetic, friend. And we think we're getting along fine. We got kids dying and going to hell. We got friends dying and going to hell. We got loved ones dying and going to hell. I'm telling you, friend, there's people perishing. I'm telling you, our homes are suffering. We're suffering loss. We're suffering hurt. We're suffering everything in the world. And we think that we're doing fine. We're poor. We're blind. And we're wretched. But we need God's eyes saying so that we can see it. What is the eyesight of God? Well, it's the Word of God. Same thing as the Balm of Gilead. It takes the Word of God to open our eyes and let us see where we stand with a holy God. Well, you know, I've seen women sell their bodies. I've seen it. God don't care how many times they've sold their body. God don't care how many times they've prostituted Himself with the filthiest men on the streets. He's not willing that they perish. But it's His will that they would come to a place of repentance. Man, what a good God, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen men that would take and help defile those bodies. And I've seen men take and defile their own bodies. I've seen men take and destroy their own lives. I'm talking about man living in sin, doing dope, living in drunkenness, lying, stealing, cheating. Just every word was a cuss word. It's not God's will that that man should perish. But it's God's will that that man might face God and come to terms with the Holy God and repent of his sins. So God don't want that man to go to hell. God don't want you to go to hell. God don't want you to perish. God loves you. Jesus loves you. God wants you to repent today. Oh, God, help us get the eyes of God. Remove the scales from our eyes. Oh, come naked before God and repent before Him. him before we do perish. The years that I've spent in my life where God could have rightly thrown me into hell. Wasn't his will. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to relive all of my past, but there was times, Zach, where I should have been dead. And there was times, congregation, where my life was literally hanging in the balances. There were situations that I got myself into because of sin. And I was facing death, eyeball to eyeball. But there was a God in heaven that said, it's not my will. If he dies now, he's going to perish in his sins. He's going to perish in his foolishness. He's going to perish into the lake of fire. I don't want him to die in this condition. And it was the long-suffering, the mercy, and the grace of God Almighty that has seen through those situations and delivered me and pulled me out and gave me another day. Gave me another call and gave me another voice and gave me another chance. It was God that said, I don't want him to perish, but I want him to have life and have it more abundantly. Times that God could have easily let me went to hell, God found no pleasure in that. God found no pleasure in letting me die and go to hell. Oh, how we need the Lord. How many times must we hear the gospel? Huh? How many times do you have to hear the gospel? How many times does Jesus have to share the word of God with you? How many times do we have to sit in a church service where the perfect word of God is opened up and presented to us as plain as I can present it to a people, and yet God knows that we would trample over the word and we reject the word and we walk away from the word. How many times does God have to give us the gospel before we become zealous and repent? Where's your zeal at? I'm getting way ahead of myself, I think, but I'm trying to follow God. It's amazing how we have zeal to pay our cars off. We have zeal to pay our houses off. We have zeal to do all kinds of things our flesh desires and craves. Where's the zeal to come clean with God? Where's the zeal to take off the cloaks of righteousness and the filthy rags and the come clean before a holy God? Where's the zeal to say, God, you're right and God, I'm wrong? Where's the zeal to say, God, I repent with a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Where's the zeal to have that? It's amazing, huh? We need God. You just watch America today. You watch America. We got them phones in our hand. And it's money, money, money. Me, me, me. Self-gratification, whether it's Facebook or whatever, eBay, whatever the flip it might be. After God, we would get that concerned about our soul. If the God, we would get that concerned with our zeal toward repentance. I wonder what it would be in America if just those that do go to church, I would put away self and seek after God and have a zeal to repent after God and say, God, ain't nothing getting in my way until I get to you. One bad old Jacob didn't have Facebook. Might not be able to use him for a good example. I'm glad he didn't have a smartphone. I'm telling you, boy, he laid out there and got a hold of God. And boy, I'm telling you, when the angel of the Lord got a hold of him, he wanted that angel to let him go. And they sat out there all night and wrestled. Jacob come to terms with himself. He seen his own transgressions. Come about morning time, the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, not so, Lord, not till you bless me. Would to God some of us would have that zeal by not letting go until God blessed us. I'm talking about blessing us with salvation, blessing us with redemption, blessing us with forgiveness, blessing us with a place of repentance, blessing us with the faith of Jesus Christ. How about those blessings? How about that zeal? How about that being number
one in our heart and life. So disconnected.
I don't know why I got to bring it up. We was up there and we took Gracie to Tweetsie Railroad. And man, had a good time. It's so nice now. Michael, the Indians and Cowboys came to shoot each other. They just tap each other on the hinders. Made me sick. I wanted to see them shoot each other. Be real. I mean, somebody gets shot in the eye with a bow and arrow or something. They out there dancing with each. The Cowboys and Indians out there dancing along with some little, you know, silly music. But anyway, me and my wife, we went to eat yesterday morning with Matthew and one of his friends. And we were sitting in a waiting room for about 30 minutes and we was just kind of waiting on Matthew anyway. And it's amazing sitting in that waiting room, ladies and gentlemen. Not one person in that waiting room was communicating. They were all sitting there on their phones. Husbands and wives alike. I watched one family come in. The husband was on his phone. She was on her phone. They handed the kid another iPad and another kid a little smartphone. And the whole family was sitting there disconnected from each other.
Yeah.
No time.
Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we need God.
Yes.
We need God, friend. You hear me? I'm glad Percy Ray and them old boys back then. I'm glad Oliver Green. I'm glad them men didn't sit around on their phone. I'm glad there were some men of old that spent some time with God Almighty. How they got on their face and got a hold of God and got in the pulpit and preached the devil out of me. Now they may have preached my hide off of me. I'm so glad, thank God, there's some people that knew how to get a hold of God, that had a zeal for God and a zeal for righteousness. Where's the zeal today? Where's our zeal? It'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it, Miss Holly? Wouldn't it just be cruel? What a hateful, hateful, wicked, mean old preacher to make such a suggestion. What it'd be if we just put our phones up, put them away for 7 days. And get that blessed old book out. Huh?
It's not as exciting, is it?
A book ain't as exciting. It ain't as informative. Not as fun. Never in my life seen such grown, stinking, pansy-fied bunch of wimping men sit around playing games on a stupid butt phone. Makes you sick to your stomach. Grow up. Quit playing so many games on a phone, for God's sakes. Our kids is going, where's your zeal at? I mean, it's more important that we get 30,000 points than it is that we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's amazing the name is Tiffany, that people can name everything in the world and can't hardly name 12 commandments. Boy, they ain't but 10.
Can you name me 12? I think it's a trick question. You ask them, give me 12 commandments.
Well, man, you're trying to be tricking them but 10.
It's amazing. They can name 10 country stars. They can name 10 country songs. They can name 10 rock bands. They can name 10 beers. They can name 10 liquors. But they can't hardly name 12 commandments.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Where's our zeal? I guess if I want to get some shouting in services, I'm going to have to start preaching nicer messages. And give me some of them aren't you glad messages. Aren't you glad God don't give a flip what you do? You can live like hell and come to church and shout, woo! Aren't you glad? You can go to any Baptist camp meeting in America and get by with that. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Go home and live like a bunch of dogs. Eric would destroy a rainbow vacuum cleaner if they took it into their secret place.
You carry a rainbow vacuum cleaner into the average church member's secret place and it would tear it all to pieces. So much dust. So many cobwebs.
Vacuum cleaner couldn't handle the load. So preach, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how we need God. We need a zeal for God. When was the last time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking simple questions. These are not hard questions.
It's stupid in 2017, but when's the last time you spent 3 hours in your prayer closet? I'd be ashamed to ask, when's the last time we spent 3 hours on our phone? When's the last time you spent 3 hours in front of a television? I'd be afraid to ask that because it was probably just yesterday. When's the last time you spent 3 hours before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find some grace to help in the time of need? When's the last time you really care for your soul? Where's that zeal at? I'm saying people go to hell and they want to go to hell. It ain't God's fault that anybody should perish. Whew. There's been 100 times. You know, I bet we could say 1,000 times.
How many weeks is in a year? 52 weeks in a year?
Just say you didn't go to church on Wednesday. Say you're sorry and unfaithful, didn't show up to the house of God on Wednesday, and you showed up for 2 services on Sunday, and you did God a favor and got him off your back because you went to church. Most of America does it. Nobody here is guilty of that. You should be shouting when you ain't guilty. Eric, that'd be 104 services a year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you attend 104 a year.
Wonder how many times that is in 10 years. Most of us was born in church and raised. How many?
1,040.
In 10 years of your life, God's given you over 1,000 opportunities to repent. 10 years. In just 10 years, He's given us over 1,000 opportunities to come to Him. Just
10 years. I'm just saying, how many times does God have to deal with us? How many times do we have to hear the gospel? How much light does God have to shine on us? Where's the zeal? Oh, what are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Some special feeling?
That's what most Baptists are waiting on. I grew up in church under great preaching. I knew that as a boy, Jesus was the Son of God. I knew that. He was God's only begotten Son. That's what the Bible said. I knew that before I ever even started school, Eric. I knew that.
I knew Calvary. I knew Jesus died for the sins of the world before I ever started school. You say, preacher, how do you? Yes, I do.
Miss Amber, my Aunt Martha would keep me. My aunt, my uncle had him an old sawed-off tree up there in his yard, Michael, and had a wood-splitting wedge laying, because they cut that wedge out of that tree, and he laid that wedge up there on that tree stump. And that tree stump was the perfect size for a 5-year-old boy to use as a pulpit. And I'd get my family, my cousins, when they got off the school bus, and I'd get them over there and set them up on that picnic table, and I'd preach Calvary to them as a 5-year-old boy, preaching, because I believed Jesus was the Son of God that died for the sins of the world. Believed every bit of that. I believed the Bible. I believed that Jesus was the true Son of God. I didn't believe in Buddha. I didn't believe in Allah. I didn't believe in Muhammad. I didn't believe in Jehovah's Witness. I didn't believe in Mormonism. I didn't believe in none of that. It was Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And if my teacher tried to say anything different, pointing toward atheism, I was the little ignorant sucker that stood up and said, it's by grace through faith. It's all about Jesus. Knew every bit of that. I was going to die in my sins and go to hell. And I knew every bit of what I just told you I knew as a 5-year-old boy. Oh, but happy day, Miss Stephanie.
Thank God for the day that God passed by, took the scales off my eyes, and let me see that I was unrighteous and I was vile and filthy before a holy God. Man, how I needed forgiveness and stood in need of salvation. Thank God for that day. All along, I thought I was doing okay. All along, I thought I was a pretty good old boy until God showed up and began to reveal to me that my righteousness was filthy rags and there's nothing that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. God began to reveal those things to me. You know what I did? I did not buck. I did not repel. I come underneath the authority of God Almighty. I said, Lord, you are right and I'm wrong. Wasn't hard. I'd had the hell beat out of me all my life. It wasn't hard for me to submit to another voice of authority. No, friend. When I was being in submission as a little boy, you understand, to authority. And when that greatest of all authority spoke from another world down into my soul, it wasn't rebellion that got up. It was submission that said, yes, Lord, you're right. You're right. And I need you. You know what I'm afraid of? Most people aren't seeing clearly just how vile and wretched they are without God. Remind you, it's bad enough for God to say this, that He's angry with the wicked every day. You understand, if you're lost sitting in here today, if you're without God, I want you to understand something. God's angry with you. He's not pleased with you. He's not happy with you. He's very displeased. Your life, your condition, where you stand with Him is very displeasing, it's very grievous to Him. You're not God's friend. You're God's enemy. Don't mean nothing much, Miss Stephanie, because we got everything we need. I wonder what it would be if Walmart would shut down. I wonder what a church service would be in America today if Walmart would shut down and Walgreens would close the door. The CVS would go out of business. And there wasn't a drugstore within 100 miles. And your cars blew up and all the mechanics were gone. And the job market, it collapsed. And everything in the world that could go wrong did go wrong. And all you had to depend on. Wonder what church would be like if all we did have was God. What if we couldn't run down to the grocery store and take our couple dollars and just buy our next meal? What if it wasn't that easy? What if you had to go out there in the backyard, ladies, and till up some ground, sir? What if you had to go out there and bust that ground up for her and sow a couple seeds in that ground and let her, while you're out laboring in the fields, let her go out there and start tending to them gardens and raising them crops and bringing in that food for the family? And you couldn't then run down there just to pull out a couple dollars and have everybody in the world cook for you and clean your table and bring your food to you. But what if you had to labor and work and struggle for it? I wonder what church would be like one more time if we had to depend on God. We've got it so good that we don't realize we're blind and wretched and poor. If you have not come to the place where if you've seen that you violated every law known to God, listen to me, God's angry with you. You violated every law. The only way God can be pleased with you is if you line up with His book. I don't like to tell people they're saved by the grace of God. I try to never tell anybody that they're saved. But I have to operate off of people's testimonies. And there sits my mama sitting up in this congregation this morning. And I could go back, baby girl, all the way to when I was just a little boy. And she taught me about Jesus. And she taught me right from wrong. And my stepdaddy was who he was. But I'll tell you something, friend. He made us walk a straight line. You understand? I mean a straight line. I never one time remember my mama ever putting on pants.
She didn't wear pants. She went to work over at Fairchild Industries and wore dresses every day of work. Dressed like a lady. Appropriate, loose, and flowing. Not above her knees. Seeing one of our high-powered evangelists yesterday's meeting with CD. They probably can't sing their way out of a speaking wet paper sack. But anyway, that's just my old meanness, such speaking. His wife was over there, and she had on one of them bright red dresses without sleeves, and it was above her knees, and it was spotty tight, you know, and I thought, boy, ain't that holy. I made the comment, somebody said, man, don't you say, that's a woman of God. I know if that's a woman of God, I'm a flipping black pope. All right. Meet me at church. I'll be glad to tell you who it was. One of our leading evangelists today. My mama never put on clothes like that. You couldn't tell whether she was a 36C or a 44D. It was loose and flowing. Amen. So preacher, you should say, like I said, people shouldn't dress like that. You wouldn't have to say it. As long as people do it, I'm going to preach it. I promise you, under God. Took us to church, Eric. We wasn't allowed to miss church. For all stars or anything, we wasn't allowed to miss church. Thank God. Man, I despised them for that. I didn't get to snicker, Michael. Y'all do such a good job. I want to commend you this week, man. Thank y'all. Y'all do such a good job. Mama, I'm thirsty. Drink your spit. I ain't being funny. I ain't trying to be mean. Drink your spit. Mama, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold it. I'm sitting there sometimes my teeth hurt holding it. See, one thing I wasn't going to do, I wasn't going to get up and go to that little silly butt room sitting back there and disturb anybody from going to heaven. If she had anything to say about it. I'd be looking sideways, Miss Stephanie, but I wasn't getting up. We didn't get up. The only time I got to get up is when she would bust our nose or our mouth, and it was out of control. You know what she told me a couple years ago, Miss Holly? She drug us all over this country to meetings, down there at Sammy Allen's, up at Red Kirby's, way up there in Mount Airy, all them meetings all around everywhere, somewhere a good preacher was preaching. I can remember going over there and listening to some of them old preachers. Man, I was a kid, got to hear Oliver Green. You hear me? Just a little boy, got to hear Oliver Green live. Man, sitting in them church services. Got to grow up under old Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was somewhere close, man. We was going to be there. I didn't think much of it then. Boy, I look back now, that's some of the best. Thank God, man. Thank God. Because those old men of God was taking that wash rag of grace and just applying that stuff to my life and, man, putting it on me. And I'm telling you, thank God, by His grace, He's made me what I am today. You know what she told me a couple years ago, Eric? All that good stuff I just said, that's pretty good stuff. We yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, sir, thank you, ma'am. We didn't do this, we didn't do that, we did this, we did that. We did right, or we got by half killed, as long as they knew about it. She sat there and told me a couple years ago, she said, I sit there in my little Bible reading place, a place where she goes and reads her Bible every day. God been stirring in her soul anyhow, and said she's sitting there reading her Bible, and God made it plain. There's no way in your wretchedness that you've ever been saved. All them good things, you've never wore a dress. I've never known her to smoke cigarettes. I've never known her, well, I was going to say I've never known her to cuss, but like once every other word, I can get by with saying that. Cussing's the only thing I ever known her to do. She said it wasn't cussing because it was this word, not that word. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So can I say it, Mama? Whoa, are you kidding me? It became cussing when I said it. See, God revealed to her, Michael, sitting back there in her little room, that through every bit of that, how vile and wretched and ungodly she really was. You know what somebody done? Somebody called me up and said, man, did you hear about your mama? Steve did. I said, no. He said, she got saved. I said, I've been trying to tell her how wicked she was for years. I could have told her she didn't need God. I've been trying to tell her that all my life. Crazy woman. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. God wants to bring you to a place of repentance and faith if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. How many 70-year-old women and men do you know that God starts jerking the scales? Eric, how many 70-year-old men and women have you heard tell the testimony where God began to jerk the layers off and show them how wretched and foul and godless they really were? You don't hear that often. And I've still looked at my mom about half cross eyed going, I don't know if she got it or not. And then sometimes I go, oh, maybe she did. And I go, I don't know if she did or not. And I'm thinking she did as long as she's quiet. But when she opens her mouth, I'm starting to doubt. Some of y'all should have said amen. Because the way you took, never mind. All I'm saying is until you come face to face with your violation of God's laws, you'll never be granted repentance. Until you're granted repentance, you'll never be granted the faith of Jesus Christ to believe unto salvation. Right. It's like revival breaking out just then. Let's turn real quick to and read this. I'm so far off track, it's pathetic. Let's, if you will, go to Luke chapter 7. We'll read this and we'll go to lunch. I hadn't even dealt with our text today. I guess God did what He wanted to do. I want to read this. I don't know what the point is, but I want to read it. Luke 7. Look at verse 36. The writing in this Bible is so small I can't even hardly see it with my glasses, y'all. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat, talking about Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster's box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She was a prostitute. Isn't that something? This old gal had devils. She had all kind of issues in her life. And she heard that Jesus was going to go over here to this Pharisee's house. And she brought her alabaster box and stood there and began to weep. Isn't that amazing? This old girl off the street. Ain't no telling Miss Debbie, let me think about it. When I read this Bible, I try to think of the situation. There's no telling the night before how many Johns she had been with out there on the street. That was her profession. That's what she did. She had infirmities in her body. She might have had some kind of STD. With her profession, it was common. They were sodomizing everything else way back then, doing their thing. But she heard Jesus. It blows my mind. She heard Jesus was going over here to this Pharisee's house, and she went and got the most valuable and precious thing in her entire life. Everything that she's ever acquired was invested in this. And she went over there to where Jesus was and began to weep, just standing behind him there, crying. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment.
Now, when the Pharaoh, and of course, we know on one occasion Judas said, well, she should have saved that and sold it and give the money to the poor. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Amen. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Trying to hurry. The pizza ain't back yet. Could it be? I'm just asking. Could it be? The reason we don't love them like we should is because we've never seen the depths of our sins. Huh? Do you think this old girl loved Jesus for a half a second because of Calvary? Absolutely not. She never loved Jesus because of what he did on Calvary. Never. Didn't love him for that. You say, Calvary hadn't happened yet. Jesus hadn't been to that cross. You know what she did? She just loved him for who he was. Man, he forgave her her sins. She heard of all the great things of Jesus Christ. Mr. Stanley, I'm just asking today, where's the zeal? Where's that love? Where's that desire? Where's that hunger? Where's that earnestness? Where's that I must get to him or else? Huh? I'm often tempted to say that we see ourselves too righteous and too good to really love the Lord as we should. Right. I believe if we could see just how wretched and foul and wicked we are and what all he's willing to forgive us for, be no problem with loving him. Right. What is it? What is it, ladies and gentlemen? What is it that Jesus has that made Calvary so special? What is it that Jesus had that made this woman love him so dear? What was it about Jesus that's so willing to see us repent? Could we, with ink, the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above, we'd drain that ocean of ink, drain it dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, the written sky to sky. Ladies and gentlemen, you can start talking about the mercy and the love and the grace of God Almighty. And the entire sky and the entire world couldn't contain all of the writing. Wes M. Lehane had it just right and said if we could fill that ocean up with ink and we could take, I got to looking at it coming up the road today, Eric, all those little stalks hanging up out of the ground. Well, they've clipped these things out here and harvested. Man, I'm telling you, I got to look at all them stalks sticking up. Just think if every one of them was a pen. There ain't enough of them to write about the love of God. Just in this little field.
You could take and fill the entire world up with every little stalk that stands up in these fields. There wouldn't be enough pens to write about God's love for you. Huh? You reckon this, and I'm done. You reckon if you hear about God's love another 1,000 times in the next 10 years, maybe you'll be closer to Him? How many more times is it going to take? How many times is it going to be, and I'm not using scare tactics, but I wonder how many more times it's going to be, listen to me, and I've got to be done. How many more times is it in your life before God does say, I'm done? If you think for a half a second that God's in the mind to save everybody, you're a fool. It's not His will that any should perish. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you don't want God, you don't have to have Him. He'll never be pleased with you going to hell. He'll never make you not. He doesn't have to pursue. He doesn't have to share that light. You can sit in this congregation. You can sit in this church. We can read verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, verbatim, everything in that blessed book every week. And God will shut your eyes and your ears and your heart, and you'll die in your sins and go to hell. That will never please God. Never please God. But I just wonder, what's it going to take for us to have a zeal to repent? What's it take? You need a feeling? You need that goosebump? Can I be honest with you? Some of these good songs around here, they stir my emotions, Michael. Every once in a while, y'all sung a while ago, I got goosebumps. Wasn't God. It just stirred me emotionally. And I thank God for it because God gave me them emotions. Huh? But before you get real good and big-headed, George Jones did the same thing. Dolly Parton will do the same thing. Stir your emotions. Father, we thank You for this day. I pray, God, that You'd help us. Lord, You can take this scrambled thought of that we've thrown out this morning and make sense out of it in the heart of God, that individual that's seeking after You. And I pray, God, that You'll do just that. Thank You, Lord, for the attention. Thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of the people. I pray, blessed God, that You'd do a work of grace. Do what only You can do, dear Lord. I tried to do my best. I pray, God, that You would take and do the rest. Lord, I pray that You'd bless the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, boy. Hey, girl. Could we be within the ocean field?